So I want to just read to you from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." It's a brief incident. It's only recorded in Luke's Gospel, but I think it tells us something important. So we're going to look at the place, the people, the problem, prognosis, phenomenon and praise, because I got over-emphasising the letter P there. But the place, where it happens, it's on the border of Galilee and Samaria. You'll recall from other parables and New Testament events, the Jews didn't get on very well with the Samaritans. But we find out that out of the 10 lepers, at least one of them was a Samaritan. But these 10, they all share a common problem. It's such a horrible disease, or a class of diseases, because apparently the word leprosy refers to a whole range of nasty skin ailments, not just pure leprosy. But anyway, they had such a horrible disease that all the barriers were broken down, and these 10 went together as a group. They're all in the same boat. They're all excluded from society. They're all unable even to greet anyone, because in the culture, in greeting someone involved an embrace, and that was strictly off limits. So they were told they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice. They couldn't go up to Jesus. They stood a ways off and shouted. And that was a smart move, I guess. They knew the laws. They accepted the restrictions as outcasts. But it's also a smart move because they've appealed to the one person who can help them, to Jesus, whom they call out as Master. And he's the one who had not only encountered lepers, but had stretched out his hand, touched a man with leprosy and healed him. Don't know whether the 10 knew about that or not. We're not told. But what they did know was that here is someone who could help them, someone who might show compassion for them and their situation. What was the prognosis? What was Jesus' analysis of what needs to be done? Well, it seems a bit vague, really. Go and show yourselves to the priest. But this was the normal procedure after a cure. The priests were the arbiters of cleanliness, whether or not the disease had gone, or whether it was still there, or whether it was getting worse. The priests had the responsibility to make that judgment. These 10 guys must have had faith to do as Jesus told them, because they did. They went to see. It was well founded because a miracle occurred on the way and they were cleansed. What an amazing account of the power of Jesus and his compassion for those people and so on. But the reason this story stands out is because of the behaviour of the 10. 9 of them were healed. What did they do? They went off home, presumably. Went and met their families again. Perhaps they went to the pub to celebrate. I don't know. But one of them came back to say thank you to Jesus. He praised God with a loud voice. And the twist is, he's the one who's the despised foreigner. He's the one who's the hated Samaritan. But he's also the one who threw himself at Jesus' feet to say thank you. So let's just go back to our question about whether gratitude is the same as thankfulness. I think we have to assume that all 10 of them were grateful that they'd been healed. They'd been freed from that lifetime of exclusion. But only one of them was described as thankful. So maybe here's a difference between gratitude and thankfulness. And this is my kind of conclusion. You may disagree profoundly, and that's fine. But I think perhaps gratitude describes an internal state of being, an intellectual response to something good that's happened. But thankfulness describes an external reaction, an emotional response that tries to express how we're feeling. And I think we need both of those. Anything related to emotions can be a bit volatile, can't it? A bit of a short-term reaction. If you're here on Christmas morning, you remember we thought of whether joy and happiness were the same. And happiness, you know, when your team score a goal, you're happy, only to be dashed seconds later when they forget which way they're supposed to be playing. Emotions are volatile. Gratitude is more about a way of life, maybe, like the video we saw earlier. Gratitude in every aspect of life, an underlying attitude. And yet, as we saw in the video, is expressed by saying thank you. An internal attitude revealed by an external action. The two words are undoubtedly very closely related, aren't they? They're intertwined, and we do often use them as synonyms. And that's fine. But maybe if you do want to find out a little difference there, maybe grateful is how we should be, and thankful is how we should express it. Up to you to think if that's helpful or not. But let's sing about being thankful. Give thanks with a grateful heart. A song we haven't sung for a long time, but it's a good encouragement to us, I think. So when we're giving thanks, it seems there's two different aspects or important ingredients to giving thanks. First of all is, to whom are you giving thanks? There's a recipient. And secondly, there's a reason for giving thanks, isn't there? Something that's caused it. Whether it's something that's been done for you, something that's been given to you. A reason for doing it and a recipient of the thanks. So we're just going to take a few minutes to look at what the Bible has to say and maybe keep those things in mind. The Bible, almost without exception, the person who is thanked is God himself. Almost every instance that is the case. But there are many, many different reasons. The theme of thankfulness really does run throughout the Bible. Often in the Psalms, we find encouragement to give thanks. Psalm 100, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name because the Lord is good and his love endures forever. Here's a reason to give thanks, says the psalmist. God is good and his love endures. It's an appropriate way to worship. Thankfulness goes hand in hand with praise. And in fact, I'm told that the Old Testament or Hebrew word that's often thankfulness is also sometimes translated as praise. They're very closely connected. We see again in Psalm 69, I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox, more than a bull with its horns and hooves. The psalmist says, thanksgiving glorifies God, and actually it pleases him more than sacrifices. Maybe because expressing our thanks reflects the attitude of our hearts rather than just the ritual and the ceremony, which can be superficial. And not only in Old Testament sacrifice ways, sometimes is what we do merely ritualistic repetition. That's not easy to say. It needs to reflect the attitude of our hearts. But we find Psalms expressing thanks to God for his deliverance, both personal and national. Psalms saying thank you to God for his faithfulness. Psalms saying thank you to God for his forgiveness. And it's not only in the Psalms. We find elsewhere in the Old Testament, great national events were accompanied by songs of thanksgiving. Look what happened in Nehemiah 12 after they've rebuilt the walls. At the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, the Levites were sought out from where they had lived and were brought to Jerusalem to celebrate joyfully the dedication with songs of thanksgiving and with the music of cymbals, harps and lyres. Here's a reason to give thanks to God. He'd brought the people back. He'd established them. He enabled them to finish building the wall around Jerusalem and given them safety and security. Giving thanks to God. When we move to the New Testament, there are many instances where we read about giving thanks, and a lot of them are based on the Greek word Eucharistia, I think, which means thanksgiving. And I'm sure you can see in there a word that's often used when we think about communion. maybe not in our tradition so much, but Eucharist comes very directly from this Greek word. And thanksgiving seems to be used in three main ways in the New Testament. And the first one is all about communion. You remember in the in the accounts of the Last Supper, it says Jesus gave thanks. Jesus gave thanks. And Paul, in 1 Corinthians 10, says, "Is this not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks, a participation in the blood of Christ?" The one big reason we should give thanks to God is because of the sacrifice of his Son, the Lord Jesus. And that's what we remember when we celebrate and share communion together. A reason for thanksgiving. Not only the communion, for all the blessings that are ours. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says to the Corinthian church about the surpassing grace that God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. God has given us so many blessings, spiritually, physically. And 1 Corinthians 15:57, thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can give thanks to God for his many blessings. And the third place that we often find the word thanks or thanksgiving in the New Testament is for all who know and trust Christ. When you stop and look at all Paul's letters, almost every one, with very few exceptions, start with an expression of thanks to God for the Christians wherever he's writing to. Ephesians 1:15, "Ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you." Philippians 1:3, "I thank my God every time I remember you." 1 Corinthians 1:4, "I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus." Even when Paul is writing to these churches to address issues with their behaviour or their doctrine, he always finds reasons to give thanks for them because he can see that God is at work and God has done this and he gives thanks for them. Do you remember to give thanks for other believers? When they look at you, do they see a cause to give thanks? So, for what do we give thanks? There's three reasons: communion, blessings, other believers. Are we going to remember those? Are we going to act on them? Is that going to be part of our attitude of gratitude as we move forward? Over the next 3 months, we're going to be looking at various passages from the Old and the New Testament where people are either grateful or they're urged to be thankful, and not only when good stuff's happening. Next week, Philippians 4, grateful in all circumstances. Then a warning from Deuteronomy not to be ungrateful. Colossians in 2nd of Feb describes a grateful fellowship, grateful for God's discipline, for God's choice, grateful under pressure. 2 Chronicles, facing the unknown with gratitude. That's not something we often do, is it? Looking at 2 Chronicles 20. And then finally, at the end, towards the end of March, Psalm 107, unending thanks. So that's what's coming up. The home groups are going to be working through a corresponding Life Builders study book as well. Ask if you want to get copies, get yourself a copy. I can tell you what is the specifics there. But an attitude of gratitude really should be part of our daily lives. It should be part of our prayer lives. And it should be part of our church life together. Philippians 4, verse 6. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Paul urges us to pray with thanksgiving. And my prayer for the coming months is that we will grow as a church and as individuals in a life that's marked by thanksgiving to God as we reflect on all his blessings. Amen. Let's sing our closing song, which says, "My heart is filled with thankfulness to him who bore my pain, to the Lord Jesus." Second verse, "My heart is filled with thankfulness to him who walks beside," the Holy Spirit. And the last verse, "To him who reigns above, to Father God." My heart is filled with thankfulness. Let's stand and sing.